Good morning. So as you can see, we're all at different microphones today, so it might take a bit to get our sound corrected. So I'll just talk for a minute and welcome you all here this morning. There's a bit of a ringing there. Is it still ringing? No? Okay. So today, as we're going to begin our service with a song from Sing the Journey, and I would invite you to turn to that and stand if you're able. And I'd invite Grace to play it through once before we begin. Thank you. You may be seated. So good morning, and welcome each one of you to this morning's worship service here at Zion Mennonite Church. As you can see from your bulletins, this is Memorial Sunday, and it is a time when we commemorate those of our congregation who have passed away within this past year. We remember their lives among us. They were here in the spaces that we have here today. This is something we observe every year on this last Sunday of the Christian year. And we do this on the week before the beginning of Advent, which is next Sunday. I want to begin the service this morning with two verses from Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. May the light of God surround you, the love of God enfold you, the presence of God watch you. We come into this sacred space this morning to remember our losses, to grieve, to find comfort, and to walk on the path towards healing and to worship. We invite you to bring to mind a loss that has affected you deeply. Death of a loved one, a relationship, a job, a dream, loss of health, a loss that needs healing. As we share in this time together, may we all feel God's presence as we remember those who are no longer with us. May we journey forward together. I would invite you to turn with me in the back of the blue hymnal, number 661, for our call to worship this morning. And we will read it together. We gather as pilgrims on a journey of faith. We come seeking the cloud of your presence. As we travel the way, we come seeking your pillar of fire to light our darkness. Shine in our hearts, O God, with the light of your love. Make your presence known through Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we've come here once again as individuals, each on our own spiritual journey. As pilgrims, we sometimes get tired and we know that we lose our way. Guide our thoughts, calm our racing minds, give us signs. Open our hearts to better understand the magnitude of love that is available to each one of us and through us to others. Be with us in this place of worship, in this particular time in the world. In your name, together as one, we pray. Amen.
Where those who died did their living, and were cared for in their dying. The communities where our loss occurred and the community we create today in our being together. We need one another in our grief, in our loss, and in our continuing. We recognize the mystery of life and death. In awe and wonder, our thoughts stretch to understand where we come from when we're born and where we go when we die. We are thankful for this gift of life. We are thankful for the persons whose lives touched and changed our lives. We're thankful that memories can help heal grief, and bring us into deeper understandings of ourself, the world, and our relationship with God. We are thankful for love that never dies. Therefore, we have hope. And sometimes, even if only for a moment, our eyes are opened and we recognize the Spirit of Jesus walking with us. Let's bow for prayer. Eternal God, thank you for the things that do not end. Thank you for all of the things that we know that do end. All this is from your hands, and on this Sunday we come with grieving hearts. For some of us are missing loved ones. We feel the ache of love unanchored, the words we can no longer speak, the arms we can no longer embrace. We turn to you in trust that you are the keeper of souls. Hold our dear ones safe and give to us the assurance of life unseen, and memories that comfort. Keep alive the love we shared and multiply it. We pray all this to you, Lord of life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We will be lighting the candles on behalf of the family members whose names are written here in the bulletin. Joy will do the lighting of the candles as I read the names. And as I read the name of your loved one or your family member, you are invited to stand in recognition. If you feel uncomfortable standing, that's why. We know the feelings deep inside. Jake Lee, George Braun, pray together. Eternal God, thank you for the things that do not end. We also thank you for the things that we know that do end. All of this is in your hands, and on this Sunday we come with grieving hearts. We feel the ache of love unanchored, of words we can no longer speak, of arms we can no longer embrace. We turn to you in trust that you are the keeper of souls. Hold our dear ones safe and give to us the assurance of life unseen and memories that comfort. Keep alive the love we shared and multiply it. We pray all this to you, Lord of life, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to sing a response song in response to the memories and the pain from Hymnal, a Worship Book, number 377. At this time, those who are counting the offering are released to do that. The rest of you, Hymnal number 377, verses 1 and 4.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your promise of your love and your care and your journeying with us. It is we who turn away from you, not you turning away from us, because we know that nothing can separate us from your love. Sometimes it feels like we are separated from you. The pain becomes too much. The sorrow, the loss, the disappointment, the expectations that are not met. All of these things become like barriers that keep us from communicating with you and even sometimes destroy the hope of your communicating with us. We thank you, though, that that is not the truth, that you are always there, always reaching out to us, always ready, seeking out the lost, those who have wandered away. Even we ourselves who think, well, we still come to church every Sunday, we do the things we're supposed to do, but our hearts may have grown cold or calloused. And you come after us, you seek us out, and we invite you to continue doing that, especially in the lives of our loved ones. But your Spirit speaks in the deep, deep, deep part of us. And that's where we can commune with you, share the names, the situations that we can't even put words to. We bring all of that to you because we know you're a loving God. You desire all, everyone to come to a knowledge of who you are. You desire relationship with all of us. We pray for your healing as we have in such a simple way remembered all of these lives that we have now lost, all of these friends and loved ones who meant so much to us and still do mean so much to us. Teach us how to heal, thereby also helping others who need healing. We pray for those in our community around us, especially those who live directly within our block, the streets right beside this very building. We pray for all of those. They see us gather here week after week. Give us opportunity. Help us to know how to share your love, especially in this time when we're supposed to keep to ourselves, stay away, limit contacts. But your Spirit reaches out at all times. Help us always to be receptive to what your Spirit invites, nudges, urges, suggests to us. We pray for the other churches that have contacts that we don't have. Family Community Church, Herschel Ebenfeld Mennonite Church, and their pastors. We pray for the situations in Ethiopia, Colombia, and Palestine especially. There are so many more, but these have come to light, especially this week. We want to remember them, not only the Christians that we know are there and the church is there, but everyone there suffering. We pray for those who are trying to recover from two hurricanes back to back. For those who are wondering, where is our God? Come to them, meet them in the hands and the faces of those who come to help them, whether it's MCC or other agencies that do rise up and say, I want to help my neighbor. Help us never to be so completely consumed by the circumstances of our own lives that we forget the lives of others, that this pandemic is touching the entire world, and we raise it up to you. We thank you for good leadership, for good guidance. We thank you for scientists. Thank you for the light that we see. Help us all to do our part, to work well together, to cooperate as best we can, to put aside our own preferences for the good of the community. We pray for a speedy recovery from this awful disease. And we pray for comfort for all of those who have already lost loved ones because of it. So many things we could pray for, yearning for. Most of all, we yearn for you. Our hearts long for you. Meet us, we pray, as we with one united voice pray the prayer you taught us to pray with your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On Fred's behalf, I am going to read the scripture, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. It's a long one, but very familiar. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
I hope you will forgive me for taking my mask off. My voice is not as what it used to be, and I just simply can't imagine that you don't want to hear what I have to say. Did I say that the right way? I don't think so. Well, anyway. The world we live in today is somewhat different than the world we lived in a year ago. Some of it is bad, some of it is good. Like always, it's sort of a mixed blessing. Some of the good things. In the December issue, Maclean's, the editor writes, we once thought, for example, that governments were ponderous, hidebound institutions with an overweening preference for the status quo. Not so. The Canadian Emergency Response Benefit, was rolled out in mere weeks. Over its six-month span, it dispersed $81 billion in much-needed relief to nearly 9 million out-of-work Canadians. In the pre-pandemic era, this sort of large-scale program would have taken years of study, trial ballooning, and piloting, and then more study. And it might never have been passed. That's my comment. Broad acceptance of our collective responsibilities in pushing back against COVID-19 and its many pathways of infection should also be considered a heartening revelation. We wear masks because doing so helps others. The same goes for ubiquitous disinfection routines and social distancing practices. We are all aware of rivalries that go on between communities. When we moved to Weimark, and after a few years I started teaching in Rosenhof, I was made aware that there had been a rivalry going on between the two communities for many, many years. And it was a rivalry that actually resulted in bloodshed. And nobody died, mind you, but, the circumstances. It seems that a young swain from Weimark was smitten by a damsel from Rosenhof, and he paid court to her. And the Rosenhof boys, could not understand how such an awful thing could happen, and they decided to do something about it. And so they waylaid the swain when he was coming to visit his sweetie and beat him to a pulp. It's a rivalry between communities. These kind of rivalries go on all over the place. We have a rivalry, for example, between the Soviet Union and the United States. Each of them seems to think that they are the ones who are supposed to be the world leaders, and this has been going on for quite a long time. From our standpoint, that's kind of silly. I mean, really, if you want to be a leader, work together with others to provide leadership. Don't get into a rivalry. Don't start working this idea that if we provide a vaccine for COVID before somebody else does, that is a plus. Especially if you're risking people's lives and not testing it properly. Imagine the joy I've had when I found out that Lois was from Steinbeck. Yes, I grew up in Grunthal. Did you spit? And there has been a riot. Excuse me, there has been a rivalry between Grunthal and Steinbeck from way before I was born, and I'm not sure whether it's still going on or not, but it was a bitter rivalry, especially when it came to hockey. And the games between Steinbeck and Grunthal, they had an element of underlying viciousness to them. They didn't like each other. Now, just as this COVID epidemic, or pandemic, was starting to really catch hold, I was shopping at Shoppers at the Consumer Wholesale, and here's this masked lady walking along the aisle, and I took another look, and lo and behold, it's Lois. We stopped and chatted for a little bit, and then we went on. But obviously, Lois is one who believes that wearing masks is a good thing, and that we should do this. Well, McLean's editor seems to think so too, and he points out that we do this for the sake of others, not so much as for ourselves as for others. Now imagine me sitting in our living room watching the national news. Some of you already know where this is going. Lo and behold, Steinbeck is in the news. And for what? For a demonstration before, in front of the hospital, against wearing masks. And I thought to myself, a heaven-sent opportunity. And I decided I was going to phone Lois and sort of demand a bit of an explanation for this kind of thing. But then I thought to myself, no, Lois doesn't deserve that. We know that Lois has different ideas. And this is not all of Steinbeck. It's just a group. And then I thought to myself, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if there were some people from Grunthal in that demonstration. Yeah, it's a real possibility. I don't know for sure. So I did not call her. We did talk about it. And then I read an article in the Daily Bonnet talking about this particular incident. Steinbeckers are known across Canada for their generosity, often topping the list of largest charitable donations per capita. This spirit of generosity appears to continue this week as thousands of Steinbeckers have each decided to voluntarily donate $1,200 of their own hard-earned money in coronavirus funds. I'm a faithful tither, said local man Mr. Penner. Do you know him?
Mr. Penner.
Okay. Yeah. Therefore, it goes without saying that I defy provincial orders and go around maskless. Gotta incur as many fines as possible. Penner has also decided to host a massive party at his bungalow this week, graciously hoping to rack up even more fines for himself and his equally charitable guests. The government coffers are really suffering these days, said Penner with a tear in his eye. We like to help out when we can. You know, it really feels good to give back to the community like this. Steinbeck is hoping to be ranked the most generous city in Canada once again, as many locals jump at the chance to offer up to Caesar what is Caesar's. By the way, if you want to read more of the Daily Bonnet, there's a website. You just Google Daily Bonnet and it'll come up. Now you may notice that the Daily Bonnet does a lot of tongue-in-cheek work. That's really their forte. This is what they do. But, you know, even if it's even in satire, there is truth. And so it does put a different meaning to this whole thing in Steinbeck with the protest against wearing masks. You know, in a very roundabout and left-handed way, I guess, it is doing some good, isn't it? The government is going to reap a fair benefit out of this. We've also had so many great times together with Steinbeck. One of the things that I remember happening is that pretty well every year under the leadership of K.H. Neufeld, we had a Zanger Fest. And Steinbeck people and Grunthal people and Niverville and sometimes some bands from Winnipeg, we'd get together and we'd rehearse together for a couple of weeks, and then we would put on a big extravaganza, singing, and put up a big tent, and hundreds of people would come and enjoy the music that Mr. Neufeld and the choir put together. Now, I grew up in Grunthal, in the hotbed area of evangelism in Manitoba. Not Grunthal so much, but that whole area, Steinbeck, Rosenart, Gorditz, there were so many other villages, Landmark among others. And we were exposed to evangelism in the worst sense of the word. But in our congregation in Grunthal, we were, in a sense, fortunate, because the hero for our lead minister was not Theodore Epp or of that ilk, but a fellow by the name of Bodelschwing, a pastor in the German Moravian movement. And the Moravian movement fostered pietism of a kind, a very, in a sense, very wholesome type of pietism, a pietism that reached out to other people in love, reached out to other people in understanding, reached out to other people in kindness. And this is what Margaret's uncle preached from the pulpit. So we were exposed to that. On the other hand, we did get evangelists coming in, and some of you of the older generation may remember Reverend Abraham Neufeld, and maybe David Schultz, Reverend David Schultz. And they would come out and they would have German evangelistic services. One thing about Reverend Neufeld, he was a big man. To take at least two of me to make one of him. And he had a voice that fit the man. So before he would start a sermon or a service where there was a microphone, he'd put his hand over the microphone and he'd say, "Das brauche ich nicht. I don't need that." And he didn't. But I remember one sermon, and he was going on about somebody who was a reprobate, I guess. And he would sit to talk about what he was doing, and then he would add, "Total verloren, totally lost." And then he'd go on, and then, "Total verloren, totally lost." And so he would appeal to people to have a conversion experience. But then one time he added on something else which I found rather interesting, and I've never forgotten. And his comment was that if you are a farmer and you have cows in the barn and you have a conversion experience tonight, if your cows don't notice it tomorrow morning, it's bogus. In other words, it was not just a matter of being converted, so to speak, but it was a matter of a changed life. And then he told another little story. Testimonial meetings, of course, are testimonies were a part and parcel of this whole evangelistic movement type of thing. And churches would have testimony meetings. And I don't know, did Zion ever have any of these? Certainly not during the time that I've been here. But then he told about this couple, and they would, every testimony meeting that they had in the church, they would get up and give their testimony. And then one day there was another testimony meeting scheduled, and they were going to go and they were going to give their testimony. And the father of the family was absolutely horror-stricken, because he went to find his testimony in the shoebox under the bed, and mice had gotten into it and had destroyed it, and now he had no testimony anymore. Sad. Very sad. But what has happened is that many people have had their lives disrupted and their lives questioned because they could not answer the question, have you been saved? Because they had grown up within the Christian faith. They had accepted that as part of their life. They didn't know when that had happened. It just happened. And were they Christian? Were they born again? Well, that kind of terminology just wasn't part of their vocabulary. Were they Christian? There's no doubt about it. But it was open to question because they could not give their testimony about when they were born again. And that's sad. And then we read Matthew chapter 25. We've always been a little bit terrified of the final judgment. That is when God is going to have all those sinners in front of him, and he's going to shake his finger at them and say, you were evil, and you are going to be damned. And we question, are we good enough? We question, will our faith stand up in the face of this irate or angry God? And so we have this story in Matthew 25, the final judgment, and the sheep are separated from the goats, and the judgment begins. But you will notice that the sheep and the goats, neither one has anything to say about this. They're not questioned about whether they did this or did that or did the other thing. They're just simply separated. And then the Lamb of God says to them, to the ones on his right-hand side, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you visited me and comforted me. And so the list goes on about all these things that they have done. And they look at him and say, well, when did this happen? We've never seen you sick. We've never seen you hungry. We've never seen you in prison. When did this happen? And the answer is, well, whatever you did to these, the poorest of mine, you did it to me. Now go into the glory that is you're destined for. That's simple. And then you have the other side, and I don't think I want to go into that. Because they are faced with the same thing, but instead of whenever I was hungry, you fed me, the answer is, you did not feed me. You did not visit me. You did not comfort me. You just weren't there when I needed you. And now you're damned. And again, the question is, well, when did we see you? Whatever you didn't do to these, the least of mine, you didn't do to me. It's that simple. So, do we sit here now and start asking ourselves, did we do this or did we not do this? That's not the point. The point is that if we are children of God, we are doing the right things. If we have set our sights on Christ, we are on the right side. And we do not need to spend a great deal of time agonizing about whether we are good enough or we're not. We do not have to spend a great deal of time worrying about whether we're going to make it or not. It's just simply, we are God's children. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran theologian. Some of you are familiar with his work, especially his Cost of Discipleship. In that little booklet, he expounds on the Sermon on the Mount. And part of the Sermon on the Mount talks about our giving. And Jesus says there, the right hand is not supposed to know what the left hand is doing when we're giving. And we've taken that to mean that we just never, ever talk about the good things we do. We do not boast about our good deeds. Because that means that we already have our reward because people are going to praise us for it. Bonhoeffer approaches this a little bit differently. And he says, it has absolutely nothing to do with whether you talk about how good you are or how bad you are. Nothing to do with it. In fact, he says, what we need to recognize is that Jesus is trying to tell us that if we are Christian, if we are his followers, we do the right thing. It's not a question of us deciding to do the right thing. We just do the right thing. He goes on to say that when people who are children of God see a need, they respond to it because they can't help it. Because it is as natural to respond to this need as eating when you're hungry, drinking when you're thirsty, and sleeping when you're tired. It is just part and parcel of your life. And you can't help it. No. Personally, I think Bonhoeffer at this point is being a little bit optimistic. I do think we have to sometimes map out who we are and what we do. And we need to respond thoughtfully to needs around us. But it's not whether we're going to respond that we think about. It's more that we respond and how we respond. May God grant us the wisdom to do this. That truly, because we are alive, the world is a better place. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us a life that is meaningful. And we pray, Father, that you may help each one of us to live out our lives in such a way that you are not ashamed of us. Amen.
We are going to respond to this message in two ways. First, we are going to rise and hear the benediction, and then we are going to sing the song in Sing the Journey. So get your books and turn to 113. We are going to sing only verse 1, but that following the benediction. So please rise for the benediction. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, the peace that comes with acceptance and thanksgiving, the peace that rises above the strains of the earth, be and abide with us all, both this day and forever. Amen.
Start with the refrain.
In number 113, Grace is going to play a little bit of the introduction, and we'll start by singing the refrain, which is the last line, and then we'll go to the beginning and sing, as we're used to, only the first verse.
To podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.